Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
You remind me of the man.
What man?
The man with the power.
What power?
The power of voodoo.
Voodoo.
Voodoo. Wait, you
yeah,
do.
Good job. This is Stranger Still.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
October month.
October month.
Incorrect. Nice try. You'll get it right next year.
You left... Okay, we're off to a rip roar to start. You left the best comment on my post about October month, and
yes.
You said you spelled it correctly, but somehow you still pronounced it wrong.
Right.
Welcome to Stranger Still.
A podcast where we get spookified in October.
I'm Nick Wood.
And I'm John Began.
Are we getting spookified today, John?
Not so much as educated.
That's what we do in this show, to be fair. We're talking about voodoo today, and we're not going to make any zombie or voodoo doll jokes this whole episode, because, as we're going to find out, those jokes are really stupid.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
But...
You said it like it's sarcastic, but like, it's...
No, they are really stupid. As it turns out, there's a lot more to voodoo than voodoo dolls and zombies. But before we get there, I want to thank Jason Lee from our Facebook page. We put up a poll for what people wanted to listen to this month.
Yeah.
And he put it on there, and I was like, surely we've talked about voodoo.
If Jason plays sport, what do you think it would be?
Do you have a joke lined up?
No, I'm just saying, like, I feel like his pronunciation changes, and it would be Jason Lee. If he played sport, that's how his coach would refer to him.
Oh, yeah, like,
right?
the Jason dad
Lee.
Coach.
Jason Lee.
Yeah.
Like, he'd be running down the field and be like, Jason Lee! Yeah.
Yeah, or a wrestler announcer.
Yeah.
He'd be, la-la-la-la-la-lee.
Jason Lee!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, go on. Anyway, thanks. That was your prize for recommending this, was a riff.
Congratulations, Jason. So, I had thought that we talked about voodoo already, and we talked about them a little bit before. Do you remember where?
Oh, man, I don't know. Something about, was it a spooky one?
No.
Oh, man, I'm never going to know.
Talked about him in our zombie
never
episode.
Never gonna know ever. Oh,
with
our zombie episode.
Friend John Mengioni.
I was wrong.
What?
Here I am.
Yeah, here I am.
Knowing
what?
You'll listen back to the episode and you'll get it. It wasn't even a joke. It was stream consciousness.
Oh.
Yes, John Mengioni. We talked zombies with him. So we said, can zombies be real? And this is the version of real zombies, right?
Well, we talked about it in that episode. Turns out it might not be as simple as I think we laid it out in there. And before we get to any of that, so this is my second caveat here. I do want to say that I'm sorry if I get any of this wrong, because this was surprisingly one of the hardest things I've ever had to research.
Yeah.
Because there are so many misconceptions out there about voodoo. There's a bunch of different kinds of voodoo.
Yeah.
There are like occult websites that act like it's this dark magic and like basically a satanic worship religion. And it was, I mean, I tried to get good sources and corroborated information as much as I could. But then there were times where you'd like pull up like Encyclopedia Britannica and they just start talking about voodoo. And then you read down and it sounds like they're talking about Haitian voodoo, but there's Haitian, West African, Cuban, Louisiana, Dominican voodoo. And they never specify.
Yeah.
So you just kind of have to like piece it together. So I'm sorry. My point is, I'm sorry if I get any of this wrong. Let me know. We'll be happy to make corrections.
There you go.
In the future.
You did good.
So, when you think of voodoo, John, what comes to mind?
Oof, just about as much convolution as that. convolution.
Well, casting aside knowing that there are a lot of misconceptions, what kind of imagery springs to your mind?
Sure. So, people think of voodoo dolls in popular culture.
Yeah.
Like
human
Haitian rituals, human sacrifices, pincushions. I guess probably pincushion dolls are what are most known because of like probably Hanna-Barbera and stuff using them or Looney Tunes or.
Gee, I haven't encountered one yet.
It might be a Looney Tunes thing then. I've like for some reason that sticks in my mind, like cartoons using voodoo dolls.
Yeah, they use voodoo dolls sort of in a Scooby-Doo movie, Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island, but those weren't they were made out of wax. So anyway.
And Brady Bunch. Voodoo. Brady Bunch movie, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Was it? That movie was off the chain, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think
it was off the chain. They leaned into it hard. Like, this is a stupid movie. We're going to make it really stupid.
Yeah. Right? I think they may have even, like, talked about how they didn't have a bathroom ever. They didn't have a toilet. Like, they went to their friend's house and, like, what's that? I don't know if I'm making that up. But
no, that sounds like something that would have been made in this movie. So, anyway, when you talk about voodoo, you think of zombies, Marie Laveau, voodoo dolls, dark magic, all that stuff. Like people bathing themselves in the blood of goats or the blood of virgins, stuff like that. What if I told you, John, that all of that is a gross misrepresentation?
Yeah, I'd believe you.
Yeah, it's not hard to believe. But Americans and Hollywood have grossly misrepresented this. Can you believe it? Again?
What?
What is this?
Wow.
We gotta cancel Hollywood. That's what we gotta do.
No.
So I guess that's why I'm actually really excited to talk about this today, because there were a lot of misconceptions I squashed during my research. There's some things I hope are surprising facts that will pop up. But the other thing is, it turns out a lot of the misconceptions about voodoo come from like really old racism.
Yeah.
And that's gonna be really interesting to talk about.
Yes, it is. That's what I'm so curious about, because I think that's what kind of made it a, oh, this is mystical, so let's throw it into Halloween culture.
Yeah, it's nothing like that. But what I think people need to realize is that voodoo or voodun, or one of the many ways it's spelled, is that it's a religion just like any other religion. Like, I came across some occult website that was like, voodoo is a cult that was founded in the 1700s. It wasn't. It's been around for like 6,000 years, and it's not a cult. It's just a religion, like any other religion.
Yeah, and then it gets further, more asterisks, because I've seen people say it's not a religion, it's spirituality, and it existed longer than religion.
I can see that argument for many reasons, because there are people that, especially in America, I think that's more of an American thing, we'll get into it, but people in America practice voodoo or hoodoo and, like, Christianity. Like, they go to church every Sunday.
Yeah.
It's just kind of tertiary. Well,
I think this person was saying, I don't know if they were Haitian, but it was a Haitian voodoo documentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, even in we'll talk about it. Yeah. So, I would say that voodoo at its very core, like the most basic, because there's many different types, when you drill down to where voodoo came from and what's common between all of them, it's really easy to compare it to how we talk about ancient Greek or Roman religion. Like, we'll talk about the specifics later, but generally speaking, like, they have one god, they have what could be talked as angels and stuff like that. But there are three, I've already touched on a little bit, there's three main types of voodoo. And all of them have their nuances. There's West African voodoo, Louisiana or New Orleans voodoo, and Haitian voodoo, and a few other smaller subsections of that. But we need to lay the groundwork before we get to all those nuances, don't you think?
Yeah, do you think people in Louisiana also hear Louisiana Fresh every time they hear their state?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't even eat a Popeyes. I just
love that chicken for Popeyes.
Is that the second part?
There was an ad campaign that said that for a long time.
Yeah.
So
must be nice to not have ads on YouTube, Nick.
So what is voodoo, John? What do you think it actually is?
Voodoo, John? It's a little doll that I keep in my house. See, I can't say that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's true. So voodoo means deity or idol or spirit, and a lot of the basic voodoo beliefs revolve around spirits. There are spirits in all of us here in the visible world. Then on the unseen world, there's a bunch of different things. There's mysteries. There's the invisibles. I don't want to pronounce these wrong. There's angels. There's the deceased, your ancestors. But most importantly, there's the loa, which are spirits. And much like Roman or Greek or Egyptian gods, there's a spirit for everything. There's, like, in the basic voodoo, there's over 1,000 of them, so I can't really list them out. In some of the subsections, different spirits have been made more important than others, so they get specific names. But like, there's a moon spirit, there's a tree spirit, you know, just like any other ancient
vaping
religion. There's a vaping spirit. His name is
Dank Vapensworth.
Yeah,
Dank is
it's a very Anglo name. Yeah. Maybe you're getting ahead of us.
Well, I'm just saying, it is a little Christian, right?
Yeah, it is. So all of this, was created by an all-powerful...
Because there's also, and I only say this because I have the Wikipedia page in front of me.
Yeah.
St. Anthony the Hermit was considered a Loa.
Yeah, we'll get there. This is what's so interesting, dude.
Yeah.
I love voodoo now. Because I told someone that I was reading about voodoo, and they're like, oh, dude, that freaks me out. I was like, it shouldn't. You need to learn about it because it's so much more fascinating than all the things that it's been reduced to. But everything was created...
I feel like I could tell 30 things about that person from them saying that freaks them out. Like, they definitely believe in ghosts.
Yeah.
That's one.
So everything was created by an all-powerful creator or god named Mawu or Bandie in the Haitian voodoo. And there's this misconception out there that voodoo rituals are meant to gain control of the spirits and have them do your bidding for you, right? Like, that's where we get zombies and stuff from. But it's actually the other way around. Who would have guessed? So voodooists believe that we are on Earth to do the bidding of the spirits, and sometimes we will contact the spirits through rituals, but they more approach it from a place of healing, because they believe that illnesses can be caused by physical influences, like if you trip and fall and break your ankle, that's caused by you tripping and falling and breaking your ankle, but you can also manifest illnesses from the spiritual realm. So if you piss off one of the Loa, Hongan or Mambos, which are priests and priestesses respectively, will offer herbal medicines or perform a voodoo ritual to heal you. They'll contact the spirits, try to rectify what made them angry, and that will heal you in turn. Make sense?
Yeah. Sorry, I got Mambos number 5 stuck in my head.
So the ritual can be what a subset of what Hollywood depicts, which is like a big ceremony where there's people dancing and chanting and playing music and stuff, animal sacrifices, but it can also just be offerings made on an altar, like you put rosemary and sage on an altar,
vegan voodoo,
or you light candles on an altar or something like that. That's totally vegan. You can sacrifice wheat as an offering or something.
That's great.
And like, that can be done in your home, or it can be done at a place of worship. It doesn't really matter. So
that's wonderful. And then after I sacrifice wheat, I'll be gluten free.
Yeah,
it'll be free gluten I give to the Loa.
Yeah, and they'll be like, I don't want this,
I'm gluten free.
So I mentioned animal sacrifices, and they do have them. They will sacrifice animals, believing though that it will rejuvenate the spirit. So if like your luck spirit is worn down, you might sacrifice a chicken with the idea that the chicken's soul will rejuvenate the luck spirit, and your ailment will be cured, or your luck will be turned around. Or whatever.
So I could disagree with this part of it a little bit.
Okay.
Not that I disagree that that's not facts, but I also think that there's an aspect to it where, and I think I heard this in Stuff You Should Know, they give that animal the option to live, like if it acts a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their form of saying that, oh, the animal consented, which is not real.
Yeah. Animals don't really consent to death.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in this belief system, there are spirits and everything. And if there's the spirit in the chicken, the spirit's like, yes, I want to be reunited with this Loa. Sacrifice me. That's just their belief system.
And what does the chicken do? Like, if it sits down, oh, if it eats food, that's what it is, right? They offer, they give the chicken an offering.
Yeah.
And if it eats the offering, then that means, like, okay.
Yeah.
Heads off.
And while we're talking about the ritual ceremonies, I read this article about a Haitian ceremony. They'll usually start with some sort of prayer. In Haiti, Haitian voodoo, they will start with a Roman Catholic prayer.
That's so nuts.
Isn't that weird?
Like, doesn't it make you mad at like our culture?
Yes.
When you have to find this stuff out on the internet.
It'll make you even more mad here in just a second. So they'll eat and drink while a priest prepares whatever, like he'll make sacred symbols or prepare ingredients he needs. During the actual ceremony, people might feel a spirit possess them, and that's a good thing. If a spirit possesses someone, that family will benefit from it. And they might begin writhing on the floor, speaking in an unknown language. Other people might just feel the spirit move through them, and that's expressed as dancing. Some people will go into a trance-like state. Some people will perform feats of strength. And the ritual can actually go on for like hours, late into the morning. And to me...
Is there anything else that they use during... Is there any like drug use or like caffeine?
I don't think so.
Just hours, just getting probably high herbal. Off of being around people.
There's probably herbal ingredients used, but like they're playing music and they're dancing and chanting and It just goes on for a really long time. And
I hope they have like orange slices and water bottles or something.
Some apples, yeah.
Yeah.
Apple slices. Yeah. One apple is equivalent to one cup of coffee or whatever they say. I don't know if that's true, but that's what I've heard.
I want to talk to them. I hear a lot of things that they say. Okay.
No, you don't want to talk to them.
When it just uses the ethereal they.
Yeah. So I lost my train of thought on that, but to me, this sounds just like is it Pentecostal churches that like writhe on the floor and speak in tongues? So if you're okay with that, you should be okay with voodoo, because it's pretty much like the most Anglo comparison I can make, I think.
Yeah.
So at home, though, like I mentioned before, if they want to practice their religion at home or their spirituality at home, they might have a table or an altar where they just make offerings to the Loa, which is perfectly fine. And one thing that I noticed is, I think a lot in West Africa, it's very woman-centric, like God is a woman, voodoo queens run rituals and stuff. I don't think that really carried to Haiti or the Americas. But the other cool thing is that voodooists are heavily involved in their communities. Like anywhere that there's voodoo, like in West Africa, they're helping out like rebuilding markets and stuff. And Louisiana, they're doing community service, stuff like that. So that's really good. But that's basically like the baseline of the voodoo religion. Any questions?
Yeah. What's with the dark history of slavery in the United States?
Perfect.
Is that where we're going to?
Yes. All right. So that's typically what you'll see in a baseline like West African voodoo. And we believe that voodoo started somewhere around Benin in Africa, which is between Nigeria and Togo, like 6,000 years ago. But something happened between the 1400s and the 1700s that had a huge impact on voodoo. Can you guess what it is?
It was Christopher Colombo.
Yes. He's so, like, wait, just one more second.
Okay.
I got one more country to discover. I don't know. Yeah. That's my best Colombo impression.
You sound just like him.
So the slave trade started happening, and British and French colonizers went to Africa, obviously, enslaved its people and brought them to places like America and Haiti. Now, the French went to Louisiana and Haiti, which is why you see a lot of voodoo there. But in 1685, there was a Catholic law that made African religions illegal. So to keep voodoo, their religion, alive, voodooists looked at Catholicism and said, hey, these aren't actually that different. So they kind of merged the two, which
was really crafty.
Yeah. It is crafty. So they noticed that they both had one God, and there are all these saints around in the Catholic Church, and they're like, hey, that saint sounds a lot like this Loa. So they started assigning saint names to different Loa. So if you go to like Haitian culture and Louisiana voodoo, you'll find lists of like this Loa represents this, and it's assigned to Saint Nicholas. I don't know. But that's I guess how you had to keep it alive.
He's the Loa of cookies and milk.
And milk, yeah. And I got this quote from Live Science that says, many of the African spirits were adapted to their new milieu in the new world. Ogun, for instance, the Nigerian spirit of ironsmiths, hunting, and warfare, took on a new persona. He became Ogu, the military leader who had led phalanxes into battle against oppression in Haiti. Today, Ogu inspires many political revolutions that oust undesirable oppressive regimes. Very modernized.
Love it. Hate oppressive regimes.
Yeah.
Always. Everyone knows that about me.
Yeah. And speaking of, it also helps that in the late 1700s, the Haitians had a successful slave revolution. The slaves rose up and performed a revolution on the slave owners there.
And I think this might be the only successful slave revolution in the United States.
Yes. No, this was in Haiti. But it is like the only successful slave revolution. The only good one.
Yeah.
And a lot
at
of,
least in this galaxy, this not far away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this, a lot of the slaves that performed this revolution were voodooists. And as such, voodoo is still a huge part of Haitian culture just in general, and even the government today. But at the time, it made people in other colonies and other countries worried about a slave-led revolution. So voodoo became very taboo to talk about.
So that makes me think that if I go to visit Haiti, there'll be people that are trying to take advantage of the dummies that will come and buy, like, oh, come here and buy this voodoo stuff. Like, like when you come here and you're an immigrant and it's like, oh, there's American flags everywhere. Yeah. Come buy these American flags.
Luckily, in Haiti, there aren't So in Louisiana voodoo, there's things called gri-gri that are like necklaces and talismans that you wear around that are supposed to bring you good fortune.
And are you allowed to wear them as a non-practicer?
I would assume so, because they sell a lot of them.
Okay.
like Marie Levu sold a lot to people. And I assume that they were mostly just like people coming to her for help. But who knows? So anyway, voodoo started to get a bad light because of the revolution. And a lot of the survivors of the Haitian Revolution took their slaves. And since many of them were French, because the French went to Haiti, they fled to New Orleans. And some of the slaves that they took with them still practice voodoo, but it was very heavily suppressed for like 200 years in Louisiana, which is where you get, this is just the beginning of the idea of dark magics and cannibalism and zombies and all these things.
Yeah, racism.
Exactly. So, but my main point is that is where you get the three main types of voodoo. And you might be thinking,
But Nick,
what's the difference?
What's the difference?
Very nice.
Thanks. I was trying to go even tighter, but you paused a little.
Yeah. So there are a few differences. I want to touch on West African voodoo before we move on to the differences in Haitian and Louisiana. West African voodoo mostly follows what I said before, but they're like, they have, instead of like gri-gri, they have talismans or what they call fetishes, which isn't what you think it is. Just made of like dried animal or human parts that they use to heal.
A fetish. Weird. So, okay, let's talk about actual the definition of the word fetish then.
Yeah.
It's not a thing that you like, it's an object that causes like some type of feeling.
Yeah.
So when you have a foot fetish is not actually
a fetish. Here's the exact definition. An inanimate object worshipped for its supposed magical powers or because it is considered to be inhabited by a spirit. So that's why it's called fetish. And then modern culture has just kind of co-opted that phrase. So as I mentioned before,
and just real quick, the correct term for like foot fetish or something is called partialism,
because
you're attracted to a certain part of the human body.
Yeah, okay, I like that. Let's start referring to them as partialisms. I'm gonna forget factual. That by the time this ends. So Haitian voodoo, there's a couple notable differences. Hopefully I get this close to right. They'll use music, I think, a lot more than West African. They also use dolls to channel the spirits. One might call them a voodoo doll, but here's the thing. They aren't used to inflict pain on people. They're just used to channel spirits. And Haitian voodoo is way more heavily Christianized for the reasons that I stated before. Like I said, they open their ceremonies with a Roman Catholic prayer. It also became entwined with Creole tradition. So like the word voodoo comes from Creole, the Creole language. They've also introduced the world to like the Bokor, the zombies, which we've already explored. And I get the impression that possession is way more common in Haitian voodoo. Like they're the ones that have more writhing and speaking in tongues and stuff like that than the other ones.
What's interesting to me is I wonder if, so when they came here and they started combining voodoo and, mm-hmm. and Catholicism or whatever,
yeah.
Was Jesus white at the time?
Probably not at that point. I have no idea.
I'm so curious. Cause like ancient religions didn't think of him that way.
Yeah.
But now modern.
They weren't white people.
Right. And then modern Christianity does portray him as white.
Yeah. Except for Good Omens, which was like accurate with their depictions of people.
Okay. Fair. I don't know what that is.
It's on Amazon. You should watch it.
Okay.
So, they also have in Haiti, they have a pouch of magical dust and herbs that they carry them. I shouldn't say magical, healing powders and herbs and stuff. Then in voodoo in Louisiana is heavily influenced by Haitian voodoo, obviously, but then you also get like Spanish influence and all kinds of American influences. But there are, of course, some differences. Singing apparently is a much bigger part of the rituals, not like as much drumming as there is in Haitian voodoo. There's hoodoo, which you and I talked about a little bit before the show. It kind of spun off from Louisiana voodoo, but it's definitely its own thing. It has a lot of like herbal panaceas, and I believe that hoodoo focuses more on ancestors than it does spirits than voodoo does. Like we talked a lot about the Loa, but when hoodoo are looking for advice or healing, they go to their ancestors instead. And they also have hoodoo dolls that are used to bless people. And then, as I mentioned before, Louisiana voodoo is big in, they're big fans of the gri-gri, which are like protective amulets or talismans or whatever. What you got?
Oh, I'm sorry. I got really caught up. I'm not used to being able to research live.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to like add things.
Yeah.
But Hoodoo is from the Low Country. It's known as Low Country Voodoo.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah.
from the Gullah, South Carolina Low mm-hmm. Country. Not to be confused with Gullah Gullah Island.
Minya, minya. Yeah. I think Hoodoo is even more of what you said before. It's more of a spiritual thing. But Voodoo very much is kind of spiritual as well. Because we talked about Marie Laveau a little bit. She was born in 1801. She lived her whole life as a Catholic, but her great-grandmother had come from Africa, and so Marie went back and found voodoo roots there. So she like sold a lot of gris-gris and stuff, and there are countless stories about her giving advice to people, providing healing. People would come to her and be like, hey, I'm having trouble with this legal case or something. Can you help me out? And then she'd perform a ceremony on altar or something like that. And her biggest influence on voodoo was that she basically brought it back to America in the 19th century. So good on her. But I forgot to mention this before. In Haitian voodoo, there's something called the Lee Grand Zombie, which is a serpent loa. But Louisiana voodoo apparently puts a much bigger focus on the serpent loa. So that's another distinction there. And I think I briefly mentioned before Dominican and Cuban voodoo. I've heard very little about these. Of course, they incorporate Catholic saints. In Dominican, they incorporate Native American saints as well. And their structure is a little bit different. They split up their deities and spirits into three sections. There's like a white or sweet division called the Rada division. There's a fire or bitter division called the Petro division. And the Gidi division, that's the black one. And the Rada division is made up of like West African spirits. The Petro is made up of Bantu spirits, which is like a South African religion. And then the Gidi division is made up of spirits that deal with death and our ancestors. So they have a little bit of a different structure. And then it's kind of a culmination of a bunch of different religions.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm taking away most is like...
It's just a giant of a mixing pot. Yeah. And then there's Cuban voodoo that I've heard even less about, which is that certainly comes from Haitian voodoo, but their ceremonies focus more on feats of strength. So they're just like lifting giant boulders, I guess. Nice. And apparently their dance moves are different.
What,
I don't
dude?
Know how different they are, but they are notably different. There you go. So have we covered all the misconceptions about voodoo? Have we made it there yet?
I think the only thing that we really like caught up that was a misconception was how voodoo dolls were used. That's the only thing that we brought up as a misconception in the first place.
Okay, well,
it's for healing.
Like, there's no cannibalism. Yeah. Let's get that out of the way.
Yeah.
We talked about the dolls. The zombies are hardly a part of voodoo, like, religion at all. It's the Bokors that do that. There's not really any dark magics with voodoo. They have a thing called red magic, it's called red magic because if you are doing something evil with voodoo, your eyes turn red. They glow red. But most people don't practice that. There are apparently priests with bad intentions that will like try to sway you from your goal during a ceremony. So the example that was given is if a priest offers you champagne during a ceremony, you should know to refuse it because they're trying to corrupt you, I guess.
Oh, man. Unless it's like really, really expensive stuff.
I guess, yeah. It's like good bubbly.
And then you give up all of your faith.
Yeah. But it's like there's not really... all of the magic comes from a place of healing, not really meant to do anything bad. And the last misconception, I think, is that it's a cult. It's definitely not.
We can say that about any religion, right?
Right. If you're going to call Christianity a cult, then I would say voodoo is a cult. But most people don't call Christianity a cult.
I think atheism is a cult, Nicholas.
Then I don't know how to interpret that.
Yeah. Wrap your minds around it and email us.
Yeah. And then we'll read it on the air. So what do you think of voodoo? It's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty great.
I like it a lot. Like, this is just...
This is the least spooky October month episode we'll ever do.
But it's important because people think it is spooky and it's not.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be like...
We bamboozled you.
Yeah. We ding-dang bamboozled you. So you want to recap for us?
Yeah. Voodoo is a ancient, like thousands of years mm-hmm. back...
Cradle of Earth.
Spirituality celebration for healing.
Yeah.
And Gullah Gullah with Gullah Gullah Island with Binya Binya Pollywog was one of the best shows on TV.
Yeah. And, was that on Nick Jr.?
Hey, asked me. I'm
sorry.
Trying to recap.
Yeah, I thought you were done.
And so Binya Binya Pollywog and
isn't Pollywog a enemy from Pikmin?
Yeah, maybe. It's a type of frog, Nicholas. Oh, that lives in Gullah Gullah Island. He's native to Gullah Gullah Island. Giant, yellow spotted.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's what they look like in Pikmin.
And foot partialism.
And they float in the air.
Oh, great.
Foot partialism. That is very important. Yeah. There's one thing to take away from this. It's
Benny Benny and foot fetishes.
Quit calling things fetishes unless it is a true fetish and start calling them...
Like leather. Leather's an object.
I already forgot what they're called.
Partialisms.
Partialisms. Don't you, I'd forget. After, let's take a quick break, and then after that, do you want to learn how to cast a love spell?
Oh man, why don't you just try it?
What?
Just do it. Don't tell me how. Just cast it on me.
Oh, okay.
Make me love something in this
room. I'll do that during the break, okay?
Okay.
You remind me of the babe. Babe with the power.
What power?
Power of voodoo.
Who, you?
You do.
What?
Remind me of the babe.
Spooky scary. If you don't want to be scared anymore, you can come to a safe haven. It's called facebook.com/group/strangerstill.
It's like a warm blanket fresh from the dryer that will cover you up with facts and memes.
Yes. Jason Lee also started a meme thread. I assume we'll start a new one like every month because this one has already gotten very long.
Yeah.
And things like Justin and Jason and a bunch of other people.
And so. It started out like a lot of like science-based stuff, but there's a lot of mishmash in there too.
Yeah.
Kind of like voodoo. A little bit of everything. Yeah.
You can also leave us a review on iTunes. We just got a new one from Susie Dragon, who left us 5 stars, John.
Oh, the minimum requirement. What does it say, Nicholas?
It's titled Delightful. And it says, the perfect balance between research topics and goofy banter, a nice way to get through my commute. Nick and John's dynamic is comfortable and entertaining, and I find myself laughing along with them out loud at least once per episode.
Oh, look at that. Well, yeah. I hope that now we can laugh with you and make you feel less crazy in your car.
Yeah.
Right, Nick?
Yeah.
Oh, Susie. Oh, boy. Hey, are you here to drink something? Just water?
I drink all my water.
Okay.
Hey, and while you're leaving us a review, you're already in your browser on your phone, go to patreon.com/flyingmachine. We are part of the Flying Machine Network. It has some very awesome shows on there, but if you're at Patreon, you can kick a few bucks our way, and it helps us do fun things like our October month finale.
Yep.
Where last year we went ghost hunting. Who knows what's going to be this year?
Right.
Because I haven't planned it out yet.
Yeah. And eventually when we start making millions of dollars a month, we can fund the Flying Machine Neural Network.
Yeah.
And it will write our podcast for us. Yeah. We'll be out of a job.
That'd be great. All I have to do is read the script.
Yeah.
Unless we can make like a Siri version of ourselves.
I would actually like to do an episode of Neural Networks where half of it is a Neural Network writing the episode for us.
Dude, that's a good bonus episode.
Yeah.
Write that down somewhere.
Okay.
Because we'll forget it in like 5 minutes.
Hey Siri, remind me to do that. Okay. She'll remind me.
Okay. I had to do that to your reminders.
Cool.
So, John, do you want to know how to do a love spell?
Yes.
Here is how you do a love spell according to... I buried the lead here. This is from WikiHow. There's a WikiHow article on casting love spells. Are you ready? Step one, pin the voodoo... The first part of this was making a voodoo doll, but that's not entertaining.
I mean, if you're into, like, sewing, it could be.
Well, they make a paper... Okay, let's go through this because they make a paper cutout. Step one of making a voodoo doll is focus your mind on a specific person. Step two is find a photograph of your chosen person and cut it out.
You're right. Mind control isn't interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job, Nick. Really reading the room. This is awesome.
Hey, this also says if you don't have a picture of a person, you can use a personal item that you collect from them, like a lock of hair or a piece of their clothing. Step three is cut some fabric and fit the photograph. So you attach the photograph to a piece of fabric. And then usually this says to sew it. You can also stuff your doll, but for a more authentic voodoo doll, use natural materials like moss or leaves. And if you don't have a picture of the person, sew two pieces of fabric, cut in the shape of the doll, stuff the doll, and sew the personal item of hair, clothing, or button into the doll or onto the front of the doll. Step five is visualize the purpose of your voodoo doll. Now, whether you intend to harm the other person or make love to them, or sorry, make them love you.
Okay.
Hold the doll in a doll. Oh my God, this is so hard to read for some reason. Channel all the energy into your intention. Step six.
Into your intestines.
Is call upon one of the Loa to help ensure that the spell works. So I guess you'll just
So you just, you make a doll out of paper and hope really hard?
Go to your local library or look online to research the Loa so you can choose one that corresponds to your voodoo doll.
Okay.
And then the last step is to baptize the voodoo doll and give it a name.
This article funded by your local library.
This is great. So the final step of infusing a person's energy into your voodoo doll is to baptize it in water, repeat the baptizing prayer, and state the person's name in the prayer. Drizzle water over the doll and repeat the prayer two times, making the sign of the cross before you begin the prayer. State the prayer as follows. I baptize you, person's name. All that I do to this doll, I do to you. Amen. And you can use holy water, or you can bless a vial of water, cleanse the doll, or release the spirit by baptizing it in salt water. Yeah.
Don't use Nestle, though, because they're taking water out of good communities. It's bad.
This is gonna ruin your photograph of this person.
Yeah.
So here's how to cast a love spell. You ready? Step one, pin the voodoo doll of the person you desire next to your pillow. That way it's not going anywhere. I don't see a pin in this photo. Step two is give someone anointing voodoo oil to make them your soulmate. Take one tablespoon of vegetable cooking oil, place one of your eyelashes in it, and allow it to sit overnight. Have the person you want to be your soulmate dip their index finger in the oil for 1 minute. How are you going to
convince them? For 1 minute? Oh, boy. Hey, does this coffee feel hot?
It's oil. Ooh, so wait, it's like,
no, give it a sec.
Why does this coffee look so weird?
It's that new keto butter coffee. Just keep your finger in there for a full minute.
It doesn't stop there, John, though. Apply the oil from their finger to your lips and kiss them.
What?
How are you going to convince this person to do that?
No. Can I say this is bad? You didn't... there's no consent. They're not in love with you yet.
I missed this footnote that says the person needs to already be attracted to you in order for the spell to work.
Okay.
Oh, hey, and tip, tell the person that they need to dip their finger into the oil to prove that it isn't hot so they don't suspect anything. You were right.
Yeah, look at that. I'm a pro. I'm always getting people to dip their finger in my coffee.
The third way to cast a love spell is to bind names together on paper and make someone attracted to you. So you take a piece of paper and write the person you want to become infatuated with you four times on the left side of the paper, then write your name five times on the right side of the paper, melt purple candle wax and drip four drops of wax onto the left side of the paper, and fold the paper so the wax seals it. Lastly, place the paper in a dish, cover it with water, and burn a red candle on top of the paper. As the red candle wax melts into the water, voodoo belief says that the person will become attracted to you. Easy peasy. Everyone has a purple candle sitting around.
I have a purple crayon.
Just burn it.
Book called Harold and the Purple Crayon.
The fourth way is that you can write your lucky number on the inside of your underwear. Count how many letters make up the first and last name of the person you desire. The two numbers put together make up your lucky number of the love spell. Write your lucky number on the inside of every pair of underwear that you own.
Do you want to try to do that right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a pen? Oh, I have a pen right here.
Yeah.
All right. My lucky number, which is 246,328.
That's a long name.
What?
That's a long name.
Yeah. And we'll try this next time.
Okay. So, for example, if the person you desire is Timothy Smith, then your lucky number would be 75. Timothy has 7 letters and Smith has 5 letters. What I love about the writing your lucky number and the names on the piece of paper
is you have to do it every time you buy new underwear. Because that's the end of your pair.
And the eyelash one is they say nothing about the voodoo religion, whereas the first one says, according to voodoo religion, pinning the voodoo doll to your bed will prevent the person you want from
having. So is this written by like a 12-year-old who watched like half of a documentary or something?
They probably watched like half of some 80s horror movie. Rosemary's Baby or something. That was Satanic Panic, never mind. Which we'll cover later this month. How about that, John?
Look at that.
Not Rosemary's Baby, but that.
Satanic Panic.
Satanic Panic. I'm very excited for that. Also not very spooky, but it is occultish.
Don't sell it short. It could be very spooky.
Okay, we'll make it super spooky.
Yeah, how about that? Add a sound effect.
What else are we doing this month? We may as well just like tell everyone what we're doing, right?
What else? There's something else that really won the poll is the Body Farms.
Body Farms. Yeah.
Again, Facebook group.
That came from my wife,
still.
Actually.
That's how we decide what we're going to do a lot of the time. Yeah. So if you join our Facebook group, and we just got a bunch of really new people.
Yeah.
Which is really fun.
Yeah. Stuff You Should Know retweeted us. We got a lot of new likes.
Yeah, so dude.
Make sure you go to our Facebook page and join up and participate in our polls. I thought about also doing the polls on Twitter and then adding the two together, but on Facebook, I have people add suggestions on there, and then I'd have to go to Twitter and add them on there as well. That would just be a huge headache. So just go to Facebook and make my life easier.
Yeah, or do a poll on Twitter that says, are you part of our Facebook group, yes or no?
Yeah. I'll make a love letter for everyone you circle Y or N.
Yep, or maybe.
Or maybe.
Or feed me. That's what I would circle.
Feed me, Seymour.
Yep.
Can we just watch Little Shop of Horrors now?
Yeah, let's go do that right now.
All right. I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this is Stranger Still. I almost forgot the
say
name of
spookier.
Our
game. Say it spookier.
This is Stranger Still.
Say it less Eastern European. But still spooky.
This is Stranger Still.
Okay, now say it like you didn't smoke before.
This
is Stranger Still.
Okay, good.